You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to our house on a Friday. Hope you're having a good one. We'll see if it's good or not today. Hopefully it will be. Moderately entertaining. Big news around the world. The Koreans got together yesterday. And the guy in North Korea tends to do things that you're saying, and again, I have Grant Newsham in my head talking about being cautiously pessimistic, which is funny. But still, if it's a charade, it's a good charade. You have to give him props for that. If it's simply a ruse for whatever reason, you have to give him props for that. But at the end of the day, money talks, bullshit walks. So we'll see what gets put on the table and what doesn't get put on the table. So on that Friday morning, welcome to our house. The chef's going to join us here in a little bit. We'll talk about good, healthy eating. Yeah, he's kind of got into this. Yes, years ago he would make healthy stuff, but he would not as much into it. Now he's like totally into it, so that's very cool. We also have a new sponsor, and let me play. I just got kind of not all the way done with the the piece of production yet, but that's not going to stop me from putting it on the air. That's right. Nobody ever said I was a professional. Okay. I'm not a professional. As I told General Nicholson, as Colonel Nicholson at the time, I'm a reservist. I've got a congressman. Needs of the Marine Corps. I don't do that anymore. That got a good laugh from the Marines. They thought that was pretty funny. I'll play you the spot, and then I'll read you what it's about. So there's kind of two elements that go with it. So So it's been kind of fun. I had a conversation with Ken Rogers, who along with his wife, along with his better half, he contacted me and he said, hey, you know, let's do something with Bravo on All Marine Radio. And I said, okay, because our numbers are big. And it's a specific demographic, right? So if you're looking to reach combat veterans and their families, All Marine Radio is currently an option. All right? 3.5 million hits to the website, 400,000 downloads in the last year. That's, and again, but it's a specific demographic, okay? You are not going to find the Antifa crowd here, okay? They're not going to, they don't listen. So if you're looking for them, if you're marketing to the Antifa crowd, yeah, you're not going to find them. You're not going to find, you might find some liberals here. I would think they, you know, maybe. But I think what you're going to find is what you find in the Marine Corps. It's going to be a fairly broad cross-section in terms of race, creed, color, all of that, because that's what the Marine Corps is. And you're also going to find a lot of guys who've been in conflict and who feel the presence of All Marine Radio as a calming influence in their life. And that's what it was designed to be from the get-go. Us talking shit about us, about current events, the way we view the world, calling bullshit on each other, trying to figure stuff out, but very much comfortable within our tribe, the tribe that we grew up in certain ways, the tribe that has meant so much to us, the tribe that you, just like the Hotel California, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. That's our tribe. Okay. So when we say welcome to our house, you're checking into the Hotel California. Anyway, so I was talking to Ken about, you know, he said, well, how do we do it? And I said, well, you know, we'll write and then we'll kind of edit it. And so then I got to thinking, I thought, well, that's a stupid idea. Because, I will tell you this as, and I'm not, look, I'm not shilling for Ken Rogers, okay? I'm just going to tell you what I think. I've seen a lot of documentaries about wars and things like that. For me, his documentary, Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor, first of all, it's a story of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines, at Quezon. I'm screwing with the case right here. That's what you hear in the background. I'll put it down. I can hear my mom yelling at me. God rest her soul. And it's unvarnished documentary. It's not a pro-war film. It's not an anti-war film. It is simply their experience. And therein lies the power. And it's, for me, one of the things that resonated with me was, one, holy shit, how are any of those guys still sane? Okay, 77 days of this shit they went through. Two is after 40, I think they did this at about the 46, 47 year mark. Okay? Something like that. The stories they tell are as vivid when you watch them tell them as the day, it sounds like they're there. Right? And, you know, and in some instances, when you watch certain guys, they're reliving it. You can see it. You can, watching it, it's incredibly powerful. So for me, one of the things that it speaks to is post-combat related mental health. And I think it's good for anybody who's been involved in conflict that suffers from post-conflict mental health shit to see it. Because it what it punctuates is, it ain't going away, and you're not getting over it. Yeah. So you've got to learn to peacefully coexist with it. Or maybe not so peacefully coexist with it sometimes, depending on your menstrual cycle. Okay? And to learn about it. To learn about this thing that now occupies you. And how it doesn't need to define you, it doesn't need to ruin your life, but you need to learn how to manage it. You need to learn how to peacefully or not so peacefully coexist with it, how to fight it, how to do all that. And so to me, there's all those lessons inside of this documentary. So we're, you know, I'm trying to like, okay, so how do you convey that? How do you convey that in 30 to 60 seconds? Okay. And so it dawns on me Wednesday afternoon, evening, the most powerful part, in my opinion, of the video is what these guys say and the way they say it. So here's what I produced, and you'll start hearing it here during every break. But yeah, this is the quote unquote commercial for it.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
When the ammo dump exploded, man, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side. And that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There's an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch, slamming against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem, the wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh, my God, you know, we're not going to survive this, you know. Little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Bravo Company, Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor is the story of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Marines.
All you veterans, listen up.
That's not what you want to hear. It's a documentary film about the 77-day siege of Quezon, and it speaks to all Vietnam veterans and every Marine who's ever wore the uniform. The story is produced by a grunt who was there for the entire time. It's history over the lip of the trenches of Quezon, told by 14 Marines and a Navy corpsman. It's award-winning. It's available on Amazon Prime right now, so you can watch it. We want you to review it, and we want you to share it, because there's secrets to post-combat-related mental health in there. It's the best documentary I've ever seen. And in the midst of all those explosions that you'll hear, you find peace. And I look at these Marines and say, well, if they could do it, I could do it. I can learn to cope with it. They did. And what they did, what they went through, is certainly worse than what I went through. So, Bravo. Uncommon Men, or Common Men, Uncommon Valor. It's available on Amazon Prime right now. Watch it. Review it and share it. So that's the spot. All right, you'll hear it a number of times along with me reading the taglines at the end. So check it out. Honestly, you can hear from that video, that audio, like holy shit, right? And that's just the start of it. That's just the start of it. There's other audio cuts that I'm in the process. So there'll probably be two or three different versions of that commercial right there. And it's just amazing. It's it's just amazing. But the cool part for me here at All Marine Radio is this thing was designed to promote post-combat related mental health. It was designed to promote healing. It was designed to be a place where, you know, for a few hours a day, you could park your ass and you can hear what's comfortable, what's warm, and what's tribal for us. And that's reassuring, right? I mean, you can hear the gunner's dumbass 4 days a week, okay? You know, but Mike Musselman is a character that just about every Marine that listens can point to in his or her career and say, I know that dude. For me, it was a guy named XYZ. But that's what this station promotes. That's its mission in life. And that's why I chase people around every day, asking them if they'll come on and talk about either the experience or an issue or whatnot, to create that. And so it's an awesome endeavor. And Ken and Betty have contributed to that healing. And, one of the quotes that Ken sent me was, this film relieved my heart. And that's from somebody who was at Quezon. And so you would think that hearing all those explosions and whatnot would rattle you. But it's odd that you find peace in watching them. And I think it helps you reflect on your own experience. And how do I deal with this thing that I have now, this thing that somehow or other has gripped me, and how do I learn to live with it? And so again, I just not in any way, shape, or form an advertisement, simply extolling what this documentary is. And I'll tell you what, one of the reasons I love documentaries is there's no editorial comment in it, okay? So you don't have a narrator saying, and then, much to their collective chagrin. Because you know Marines, they don't have collective chagrin. They have individual feelings that vary as wide as you can stretch your arms on any given issue. Hey, that was awesome. That was bullshit. Yeah, I mean, you can hear it today. And so there's none of that. And as I said, it's not pro-war, it's not anti-war, it is just what happened. And in that, you will find what has always made Marines incredible. And I think that most people who have any kind of similar experiences will see their own experience there. And will, again, see that it's okay to struggle with it. After 50 years, these guys still struggle with it. And well, they should. And it's okay for you to struggle with it too. Because you're not getting over it. You'll learn to live with it. So anyway, it's been very cool in a number of different ways to work on this kind of for the last week. I've struggled with it a little bit. Not in any emotional way, but you know, how do you take something that's so good? I just got an email. Hey Mac, play that again. I'll play it again. How do you take something so good and then communicate it? How do you do that? How do you communicate the essence of that in a very short snippet? So one of the cool things about running All Marine Radio is I don't have to do it in such a short way. I could do it longer if I care to. So, yeah, here's just the audio that I chose. Hold on. And so just so you know, this is just, I just sat down with the video and I just started watching it. And Ken sent me some clips that he recommended and said, hey, you might want to check this out or check this out. But this is just, you know, and again, this is just a snippet of what you find. But here's the audio from the commercial again.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
When the ammo dump exploded, man, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side. And that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch. Slammed me against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem. I had wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh, my God.
Right? Can it get worse? Right? Right. First of all, we're getting the shit shelled out of us. Second of all, they just hit the ammo dump, and now we have our own CS and our own ordnance exploding and falling around us. Come on, what is this? The earthly reenactment of Dante's Inferno? What the hell?
You know, you're not going to survive this. You know, little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
I don't know that I would, I'd watch it with, my family. I watched it by myself, and then I watched it once with my son. And at the end of it, he looked at me and he said, wow. He said, I don't think it would be bad for most Marines to watch that. I said, well, I think one of the reasons that they should watch it is, it will prepare you mentally, or at least it'll pull back the curtain a little bit, that this stuff doesn't go away, and that's okay. And if that's the only thing they take from it, then that's a huge step. Because nobody ever trains us about stuff like that. You know? And I think that's probably not a bad thing to do. Hey, watch this, and your takeaway should be, after such a long period of time, it's as vivid for them as if it happened yesterday. And that's okay, because that's the nature of this business. But we want to prepare you beforehand so that you know that. So when you struggle or stuff bothers you afterwards, you know that's normal. It's okay. It's okay. Ken sent me this clip. This is Frank McCauley. And one of the unique things about Frank McCauley's interviews and audio, well, video interviews, is when you hear Ken talk about it, you can tell, I love this documentary. Because to me, it's a fascinating look into post-combat related mental health. Every one of these guys significantly impacted for the rest of their life. And I will dovetail it to the Me Lai thing. I've watched a lot of video about My Lai, the interviews. That incident destroyed so many lives, okay, in addition to the Vietnamese that were killed. And the whole keep your honor clean thing, you keep your honor clean for yourself. So when you get done with all of this, hopefully you can put your head on your pillow and sleep at night without having horrible nightmares. And so when I watch the My Lai stuff, they're not getting over that. But it's not them struggling with combat. It's them struggling with their own moral failure in combat. And that is a burden that is extremely cruel. So you take the burden that you're already going to bear, and I don't even know by a factor of, you increase it by a factor of a million because of your moral failure that will never go away for you. That's why you keep your honor clean. I don't know that we're teaching it. I don't know that the Marine Corps teaches it well enough. I should be the lead instructor on that shit. But Frank McCauley, this is 35 seconds of audio. This and the audio is Frank McCauley. For me, he's kind of like George Costanza, because one of the things about George Costanza in the Seinfeld series is his inner monologue, right? So he articulates as a program these incredible inner monologue that he has over an issue, right? Terribly conflicted is the right word, but he's just got this interesting inner monologue. Well, Frank McCauley has that same inner monologue, internal debate going on. Okay, and as everybody, you know, you have that voice that talks to you. And so what's interesting about Frank McCauley in the whole video is, and I was talking to Ken about him once because I brought his name up. I said, that McCauley guy, wow. So what happens? There's a patrol that gets sent out. And I want to say 30-something of the 50-something guys are killed, okay? And they call it the Ghost Patrol. To compound that devastating event, they weren't able to go. Marines don't leave each other behind, right? They couldn't go out and get them. Where they were killed, they suspected was at least a battalion of NVA soldiers, possibly two, is what they walked into. So they couldn't go get the bodies, and they knew the bodies were out there, and they'd lived with that. And approximately a month later, as the siege wore on and the NVA activity began to diminish, they went out for what's called the payback attack. And so Frank McCauley describes this attack. And this is a little bit of the audio of his description of that. It's amazing.
And then I realized this was Pop Goes the Weasel. And that, so I quickly got up there.
Okay, what he's talking about is he and another an NVA soldier see each other. He sticks his head up and then he kind of lowers his head. The other guy sticks his head up, and he drops his head, right? So when he's saying Pop Goes the Weasel, he's describing how both of them are sticking their heads up and sticking their heads down. Okay, and he realized if he gets out of rhythm, he's going to catch the guy popping up.
Out of rhythm, and when he came up, I just squeezed and shot, and it was the oddest thing. My instructor from the range in Camp Pendleton was there explaining to me about breathing and squeezing. My first shot, right in the head, right in the forehead. I had just done something I really didn't wish to do. And I'm laying there bewildered. And then I realized...
Pretty amazing. And so the documentary is replete with that. And so you see these guys who have dealt with this for a long time, and then Ken and Betty offered them a vehicle to share their thoughts, their memories of what happened there. And I will tell you that there's great lessons in there for all of us. And so anyway, so it's been very cool to kind of help out and to work on this. And so, but what I personally want you to do is I want you to watch it, review it, so when people go to it, they see the value of it, and then share it with your friends. Let people know about Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor. Again, they can watch it right now on Amazon Prime. And but again, those three things, watch it, review it, and share it. Because I think at the end of it, you have a better understanding. The other thing that, and I'll link this to the 5th Marines Vietnam Memorial that's going to be dedicated in about a month at Camp Pendleton. The whole meaning of the Semper Fidelis thing. If you would ask these guys in 1968, hey, do you think we'll still be hanging out when we're old dudes? They'd be like, yeah, probably not. Well, they are. Why? What is that whole Semper Fidelis thing? Always faithful. Okay, what is that? Well, they're still hanging out 50 years later. They're still hanging out. That's what it is. That's what it looks like. Still taking care of each other. Still reaching out. Still involved in each other's lives. Still supporting each other. I think that the memorial that is already up at Camp San Mateo, at Camp Pendleton, is pretty amazing. And think about 50 years after the fact that you and your peers raised $400,000 to commemorate the sacrifice that was made in lives during the war that you fought. Yeah, imagine asking that in 1968. Hey, do you think that maybe someday, you know, 50 years from now, you know, 45, 50 years from now, you think we'd ever be in a position to raise $400,000 for a memorial? They look and like, yeah, not sure what's in that cup of coffee there, Staff Sergeant, but. So what does Semper Fidelis look like? It looks like Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor. It looks like the 5th Marines Vietnam Memorial. And it's very cool. It's a cool tribe to be a part of. Right? It's a cool tribe to be a part of. And, you know, I think as you get older and you continue your association with veterans, with Marines in particular, you look back and you think, you know what? I wasn't as dumb as I was led to believe I was when I was 18, 19 and made a decision on which branch of the service. I joined the best branch of the service, the Marine Corps. And we just got a tree planted at the White House for our asses. So, that's kind of a long-winded opening. Also, when you hear in that little clip I played, I think it's discombobulated, isn't it? It's not discombobulated. He's probably from like Connecticut or something like that. Right? Now, I can understand if he would said that after the artillery started going off at Quezon, but lo, all these years later, discombobulated? I'm pretty sure it's discombobulated. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. All right? I don't think I am. But, very, very, very cool stuff. So, I saw Bravo post on Facebook yesterday, and they asked everyone to review the film on Amazon. 100 reviews gets them another promotion level with Amazon. There's currently 30. All right, so there you have it. There's the task. Okay, so that's what we're about, getting that number to 100. You know, I wasn't going to share this, but obviously, Ohio Man just sent this to me. This morning when I woke up, Ken Rogers told me that their company commander, Ken Pipes, passed away. I've gotten to know Ken Pipes, and I wanted him to come on, but he was reluctant. And I'll give you my opinion on why he was reluctant, but he passed away yesterday. And he said that, Ken told me this morning that there are a lot of sad Marines among us today. He was their company commander throughout. And when he came back and got out of the Marine Corps, retired out of the Marine Corps, went to work in San Diego County with the Sheriff Department and retired, I want to say, a year or so ago, after 50 years of service to his country in the Marine Corps and as a San Diego County Sheriff. He did, the last part of it was he had a bunch of stuff to do with veterans who had been incarcerated and helping them and supporting veterans programs in San Diego County where there's a ton of veterans and some of them do get in trouble. And so Ken Pipes is passed away yesterday. So, and I'll give you his voice in that spot that you just heard. I'll play it again. I'll play it again here. The guy who's talking about the gas, that's Ken. All right. First voice you hear is Frank McCauley. All right. He's describing his. Can you imagine being flown into Quezon, right? And they tell you, hey, the C-130 is going to land. It's not stopping. Okay, you're going to jump off when it's turning around. When it's turning around, they're throwing body bags on that have bodies in them. Okay, not empty body bags. Those body bags have, and they're screaming at you to go. And as he said, what's everybody acting crazy for? And then the rockets start to land. So this is Frank McCauley when you hear the start.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
When the ammo dump exploded, man, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side, and that first round.
Our bunker's on the garbage pit side of the ammo dump. What a place to be at Quezon, right?
Went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch, slamming against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
See, I think that's discombobulated.
Mayhem.
This is Ken Rogers himself.
Wounded, laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas. That was.
This is Ken Pipes, who passed away yesterday, the company commander of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines at Quezon. Came back, was an instructor at Amphibious Warfare School. In his career, but fair winds and following seas to Ken and to the Marines of Bravo Company. And I know you will celebrate his life, celebrate how lucky you are that you had such a great leader, that was at the head of your company, over the course of those 77 days.
Blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground. And into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh my God, we're not going to survive this, little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Is it on Amazon now? Awesome, I'm on it. I meant to buy it, but I haven't. I'll just get drunk and probably rent it 50 times. Thanks for the intel. Godspeed to Ken Pipes. No, it's like I said, I think when you have this experience and you're searching for answers, you know, it helps to go down this road with other guys that have been down this road before. And you feel, it's weird. You feel this kinship as part of this fucked up tribe. And then you're able to laugh at it. And you're able to see that I'm not alone. Other people have walked this path before. If they can do it, I can do it. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Right. And again, one of the things you do learn is to celebrate people's lives. And Ken Pipes lived a great life. And I think just to talk about it. So Rogers actually screwed me over. I wanted Ken to come on and do a battlefield study, and he was on the fence about it. And I didn't really understand why. Okay. But he would call me. Hey, Mac, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. What are you doing? Like, oh, nothing. I just called. Care if we shoot the shit? And I said, no. Pipes is the one that asked me about Milai. And I responded, well, I know something about it, but not that much. And he's the one that got me to go down that rabbit hole of Milai. I don't, in some conversation we were having one night, and this is what, a year or more ago? I can't remember. And so he would call me and we'd talk. And I said, man, come on and do the battlefield study. But I will tell you this. I think he was incredibly affected by the Marines that he lost at Quezon. In particular, on what they describe as the Ghost Patrol, and if you see it on Amazon, you'll see how deeply he was impacted by it. So you send a patrol out there, you tell them, hey, this is what we're going to do, blah, 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 and 80% of them don't come back. Whose fault is that? Is that your intel sections? Because they told you, hey, this is what we're looking at out there. We want you to go find it. You know, the story of the Silver Star earlier in the week, the 1st Marine Division presented a Silver Star to the family of a Marine that was killed in Vietnam. Around Quezon on Hill, this Marine's killed on Hill 861. All right. And, he gets told to, his name's Philip Sauer. He's a first lieutenant. He gets told, hey, grab we're going to give you two radio operators, two forward observers, and you're going to go set up an observation post because we think there's NVA. And the mortar platoon commander said, here, right? The 81's platoon commander. And he circles it. So off they go. Well, the intel guys don't know that the NVA are closing in on Quezon. And this is in, I want to say, November, December of 1967. Right, the offensive starts at the end of January. It explodes at the end of January. So the NVA are making preparations, right, slowly but surely encroaching around Quezon. The intel people don't know it, though. The Harry Potter crew, their job is to predict the future. They don't do it You know, first of all, it's not easy to predict the future. It's not easy to predict the future now. It sure as hell wasn't easy to predict the future back then, right? So anyway, but who lives with that when they're the commander, right? So when Lieutenant Philip Sauer told his Marines to keep moving and he stopped and turned around with his 45 to suppress the enemy in order to give his Marines time to get away and was killed, somebody had to live with that. Yeah, I sent him out there. I didn't really know that they were out there in those numbers. But that doesn't, and again, can you absolve them of that? Can you say, hey, well, how could you have ever known? You know? But again, much like Jeremiah Workman, who said, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about what I could have done different so that my three Marines wouldn't have been killed in Fallujah in 2004 on a day when they probably fought over 100 shitheads in a palace in Fallujah. They killed 24. That's a big number in Iraq or Afghanistan. That's a big, big number. But he doesn't look at it. He doesn't look at it with, you know, he looks at that as a failure, and he struggles with it. And so I'll tell you how Rogers screws me over. So I kind of explain to Ken, hey, it's a benign environment, right? This is our tribe. Nobody's assigning blame, right? But other leaders can learn from, you know, what you went through. What was leading like over the course of almost 2.5 months of that? And that was, you know, what the audio that you heard, the incoming, that was every day. Yeah, like I said, I mean, how are those guys saying? I don't know. As Rogers would say, we're not. And he laughs. And he's not all kidding, right? But, so, and he would talk, well, you know, Mac, you know, I'm kind of busy right now, and I've got a doctor's appointment, and blah, blah, blah. And I would get pissed. God damn it. Because his story is such a compelling story. But I think that he was very leery of being hauled in public and being asked questions that maybe he hadn't settled. Even when you settle it, you're not settled with it. I should have known. Why didn't I? Was there something I missed? And am I going to get blamed for it? And so the last time I spoke to him about 10 days ago, we're talking. And he says to me, he says, well, you know, Rogers told me you're a tough questioner. You ask hard, really hard questions. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I was talking to Ken about it, and he said it was great, but you ask hard questions. And I'm like, that son of a bitch, Rogers, screwed me over. And I think what Ken meant to say was they were thought-provoking questions, you know, like, well why this or how that, but I don't, that's not how Ken Pipes received it when he said hard questions. So I think he thought I was going to be a prick to him. Rogers, man, where did I see that guy? So we mourn his passing, but again, in this tribe, you know, we hopefully celebrate his life more than we mourn his passing. We celebrate our good fortune at having him in our lives, and they for sharing their lives with him for 50 years. And one of the things that's amazing when you watch this documentary, I didn't mean to talk about this for this long, but whatever. It's my show, so I can do whatever the hell I want to. One of the things that you know you take away from all of this, and is how young these guys were. You know, a fair number of them were some of those. You can go to jail, or you can join the Marine Corps, or from their families. I didn't like school. You know, my dad and my uncles had served in the Marine Corps or the Army, and I was looking for something to do, and I needed to get out of town, and so I joined the Marine Corps. But they're young. The second oldest guy in the, I think it's a platoon, is a corpsman who's 21 years old. He's the second oldest. And so at a very young age, they cross paths with Ken Pipes. He's their company commander. He's the guy. And for the rest of their lives, they're inextricably bound together. So anyway, with all of that said, we mourn his passing today. So Whitney Houston sings the national anthem on Friday. Good morning to you. And as you might expect, this is dedicated to Ken Pipes, the skipper of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Marines at Khe Sanh, who passed away yesterday. Fair winds and following seas there, Ken. And I'm kind of pissed at you for not doing a battle study, but I'll let that go.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
The chef coming up. Before I check the weather, let me read you what Ken Rogers wrote. I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't know what the family's wishes were relative to releasing that information. So when Ohio Man saw it, Ohio Man's pretty connected too. He reads. He's on the cutting edge of it. Anyway, this is from Bravo the Project, which is Ken Rogers and his wife. We normally post items on this page that are upbeat about what's happening with Bravo or reflective of the history surrounding the siege of Quezon. But today we have the very unhappy task of passing along the news that Bravo's skipper, Lieutenant Colonel Ken Pipes, United States Marine Corps retired, has gone on to Fiddler's Green to join so many of his beloved Marines and corpsmen with whom he served with at Quezon. Ken Pipes was compassionate and passionate, intimately intuitive, intelligent, and a true leader of men. I think those of us who are left behind to grieve his leaving, if he asks, would follow him into the breach, into the maw of death once again. Semper Fidelis, Skipper. For those of you who wish to pass along condolences, Ken's family has asked that their privacy be respected in his time of grief. We will alert folks when we have more news about funeral arrangements. So, again, the passing of Ken Pipe. All right. We'll check the weather in Marineland. Cloudy and 57 in Quantico, mostly cloudy and 72 at Camp Lejeune. They've got a couple weather warnings. It is mostly sunny and 67 in Granbury, Texas. It is sunny and 48 up in Montana, up in Big Timber, Montana. So good for Montana, man. He was over in Idaho the last I talked to him the other night. It is sunny and 70 in 29 Palms. It is cloudy and 58 at Camp Pendleton. It is dark, clear, and 69 in Okinawa, so a little bit warmer, but kind of steady state. It is dark, clear, and 85 in Marja, so pretty much the same. No major changes as the fighting season comes to Afghanistan. And it is cloudy and 58 degrees at the home of All Marine Radio. Feels like 57. That's because of the wind chill. Winds are out of the south at 6. Looking for 67 degrees today, 69 tomorrow, and 68 on Sunday. That is a look at your weather. The All Marine Radio head chef is going to join us. I wanted to make a comment, though, about Bill Cosby. You know, one of the things that I found disturbing about Bill Cosby, and I grew up listening to his comedy, Fat Albert, and just his comedy bits as in the 60s. I had his comedy albums, and I'll never forget. There's a bit in there that he did, and he called it Spanish Fly. And it had to do with this thing that you could buy and you could give women, and all of a sudden, and he would, and I, you know, can you imagine, what, last, and this is just the women that came forward. So, you know, how many women through the course of his life did he do this to? If 60 of them, you know, came forward. Hundreds easily, thousands probably. And these women all watched as he walked. Because Bill Cosby, he gets rich guy justice. He didn't get poor guy justice. He gets rich guy justice. And so yesterday he was convicted on 3 counts. And so I think about that. He did comedy bits about quote unquote Spanish Fly, this drug that you gave women that made them want to have sex. Creepy as creepy could be. And it's just an astounding fall, to say the least. Mr. Huxtable, as most people know. All right. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, the All Marine Radio head chef is going to join us here on a Friday, and whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
The ammo dump exploded, and we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side, and that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch, slamming against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem. I had wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh my God, you know, you're not going to survive this, you know. Little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Bravo Company, Common Men, Uncommon Valor is the story of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Marines. It's a documentary about the 77-day siege at Khe Sanh, but the film speaks for all Marine veterans and every Marine who's ever worn the uniform. A Marine story produced by a grunt who was there for the entire siege. Its history over the lip of a trench is told by 14 Marines and a Navy corpsman. It's an award-winning documentary. It's available on Amazon Prime right now. Watch it, review it, and share it.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.